It's 8:59. This is KBOO Portland, and Press Watch is next. Teresa Mitchell is on break. Per Fogarang is filling in for her, and he welcomes producer Jeff Cohen to talk about his film All Governments Lie, Truth, Deception, and the Spirit of I.F. Stone, showing Sunday at the First Unitarian Church. Air Cascadia with Chris Andre at 10. 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And then coming up at 11 this morning on Between the Covers, David Naiman talks to author Azarine van der Vliet Alumi about her highly acclaimed new novel, Call Me Zebra, and all of this good programming because of KBOO members and your support. So keep informed, get involved by going to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. It's 9 o'clock.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society's new concert season, which runs September of 2018 through May of 2019. The Portland Folk Music Society is pleased to present a lineup of national and regional artists, including Molly O'Brien and Rich Moore, the Kathy Kallick Band, the Honey Whiskey Trio, Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball, True North, Tish Hinojosa, Pat Donahue, Nina Gerber and Chris Webster, and Dave Stamey. For a limited time, the Portland Folk Music Society is offering a season ticket package at a deep discount from regular pricing, but this opportunity runs only through the end of May. For more information, go to kboo.fm, and on the right side of the homepage, click under Community Events.
In this, our 50th year, KBOO is honoring volunteers, staff, and board members from our early days with a program of stories and memories from the late 60s, the 70s, and the early 80s. Hear the voices of people who helped make KBOO what it is today on Thursday, May 31st from 8 to 10 p.m. Tune in and listen to the legends of KBOO's early history, or come down to KBOO for a reception and open house starting at 7 p.m. that evening. That's Thursday, May 31st, 8 to 10 p.m., when we present KBOO Recollections, The Early Days, on KBOO Portland.
Good morning. This is Per Fogarang, and I am filling in for Teresa on Press Watch. And we have a special guest today. He's Jeff Cohen, who is one of the founders of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And he's also a professor of journalism at Ithaca College in New York. And he's a producer of a film that is being shown around the country, around Oregon, and here in Portland, Sunday night, and the film is called All Governments Lie, which is a famous quote from I.F. Stone, the legendary reporter I.F. Stone. And so that's what we'll be talking about. Jeff Cohen, welcome to KBOO.
Hey, it's great to be on KBOO.
Well, gee whiz, great to have you. And boy, well, tell us about the movie. Right now, you've been showing it in Southern Oregon, and now it's coming to Portland Sunday, June 3rd.
Yes, this Sunday night we're going to gather at the First Unitarian Church at 6:30 this Sunday. All Governments Lie, Truth, Deception, and the Spirit of I.F. Stone.
Yeah. One thing about the movie now, there's sort of two venues at the Unitarian Church. It's the regular church sanctuary, and then on the next corner there's the kind of a, I don't know, another building that has a little auditorium. Do you know which one it's going to be at?
Yeah, it's at the other one. It's at the Buchan Room,
okay,
which is 1211 Southwest Main Street.
So
this Sunday, 6:30, Buchan Room of the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street. So the movie is a documentary. I was one of the producers, and it focuses on this incredible, legendary, independent journalist, I.F. Stone, known as Izzy Stone.
Mm-hmm.
He operated in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. He's most famous for a four-page newsletter, I.F. Stone's Weekly.
I remember that.
Published, yes. From
I think I've got almost all the copies.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people since I took this job in Ithaca College 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was the director of the Park Center for Independent Media, and every year we give away the Izzy Award
mm-hmm.
for Outstanding Achievement in Independent Media, named after Izzy Stone.
Mm-hmm.
But the newsletter from 1953 to 1971, it challenged the anti-communist witch hunts, which were used to repress people in the media, people in academia, people who had government jobs, people in Hollywood. That newsletter, the I.F. Stone's Weekly, also was the first place that challenged all the deception about the ever-expanding war in Vietnam. It was a newsletter that fought racism month after month after month. And so what the movie is about is not just I.F. Stone, and not just government liars from Vietnam till Donald Trump. Trump's in our movie.
Mm-hmm.
It really celebrates the independent journalists today who operate to challenge government deception, who challenge corporate deception, who do not apologize for Democrats when they're in power and they're using deception. So the stars of the movie are Amy Goodman and Nermeen Sheikh from Democracy Now!, Sharif Abdel-Qaddous, who was a reporter from the Middle East, still is, for Democracy Now! We've got, as stars in this movie, Glenn Greenwald and Jeremy Scahill from The Intercept. We have the Young Turks. We've got the filmmaker Michael Moore, who is deeply influenced by I.F. Stone and everything that Michael has done in the last 30 years. So it's a movie celebrating independent media today.
Mm-hmm.
There is a boom in independent media today. One of the reasons there's a boom is because of the internet, which has helped all of these news outlets get bigger and bigger. And the internet, of course, is threatened by the end of net neutrality and threatened by the bosses of Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes,
mm-hmm.
Lawrence O'Donnell. Comcast is the owner of MSNBC, NBC, so you'll always hear on MSNBC about Russia's assault on U.S. democracy. You don't hear about Comcast's assault on U.S. democracy
mm-hmm.
or the assault on our democracy that's been going on for decades with the corporate takeover of the two major political parties, the corporate takeover of the media. But if Comcast gets its way, the internet will be changed. It will be these independent news outlets, whether it's Common Dreams, Truth Out, Truth Dig, they'll be pushed into a slow lane.
Mm-hmm.
And this boom in independent media that's been so glorious for the last 15, 20 years will really come to an end. And Comcast is working hand in hand, Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, the major internet providers, working hand in hand with Trump's Federal Communications Commission to try to end net neutrality.
Mm-hmm. Now, you called I.F. Stone the patron saint of bloggers.
Yes.
And tell
I'll
me,
explain that.
Now, he put that newsletter out, just him and his wife. I mean, he wrote
That's
the
right.
stories, and they got it typed, you know, send type and mailed out all over the country. I think it had a big circulation, what, 70,000 or something?
Yes. When the reason I call I.F. Stone the patron saint of bloggers, and Glenn Greenwald's made the same comment, that Izzy Stone had this independent spirit, like the progressive bloggers who boomed about 15 years ago, where, as you say, he did everything with his wonderful wife, Esther. They did it all themselves. Izzy was the writer, editor, proofreader, and this thing started in the height of the Joe McCarthy era, 1953, and it had 5,000 subscribers. Two of the original subscribers were Albert Einstein and Marilyn Monroe. And then, you know, the 1960s came with the civil rights boom and the anti-Vietnam War boom. And all of a sudden, Izzy started getting discovered by activists who were 20, 30, 40 years younger than him. And but he really had that blogger spirit where he didn't. He operated alone. He went to the original documents. He criticized the mainstream media. And it was sort of the ethic of progressive bloggers. And I would argue that Glenn Greenwald today may be the closest thing to a living I.F. Stone. And Glenn started as a solo blogger. He started during the height of the war on terror with President George Bush infringing on civil liberties. And Glenn wrote about it day after day, built this huge individual following, just like I.F. Stone built his following in the 50s and 60s. So that's why I call I.F. Stone the patron saint of progressive bloggers.
Well, I met him years ago because the you know, the last New York paper that he wrote for was the Daily Compass.
Yes.
And, you know, they were having circulation problems. They started a these compass clubs in little towns, you know, around them. New York area, and they had one in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was a student up there, and so he came up to Providence one time to visit the local Compass Club, and so I don't know, about half a dozen of us, we sat and chatted with I.F. Stone. He's a very nice guy and very unassuming guy, you know. We talked about the political scene in Washington. You would not find I.F. Stone at the White House Correspondents Association.
No, well, that's what the, that's what the movie shows. He wasn't, and again, you don't see Amy Goodman or Glenn Greenwald at the White House briefings either. And in our movie, and people can see this movie in Portland, 6:30 First Unitarian Church this Sunday, the movie quotes Noam Chomsky, who knew Izzy very well. And Chomsky said that the beauty of I.F. Stone is he was banned from those White House briefings. He wasn't allowed in the White House briefing room. So Izzy Stone didn't have to spend time recording all the lies. He could just hear what was said, and he went immediately to the documents. And I.F. Stone would prove the lies about why we had to keep building nukes against the Soviet Union, the lies about why we had to keep expanding the Vietnam War, and he could go right to the official documents. And one of the biggest scoops in the life of I.F. Stone, and it's why I compare him to today's Jeremy Scahill and why the movie does, and you know, today's Amy Goodman's, when Lyndon Johnson announced, President Johnson in 1964 announced that the North Vietnamese, this tiny peasant country, had in an unprovoked way attacked U.S. battleships in the Gulf of Tonkin off the shores of North Vietnam. It was a complete lie. And the mainstream media, Washington Post front page, New York Times front page, just trumpeted these falsehoods as if they were true. In no time, President Johnson got what was called the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which passed the Senate with only two negative votes. One of them was the great senator from Oregon, Wayne Morse.
That's right.
But because the mainstream media went along with this lie that the North Vietnamese had, in an unprovoked couple attacks, attacked U.S. warships, it led to what we know as the U.S. war in Vietnam. And there was one lonely journalist, I.F. Stone, in I.F. Stone's Weekly, that within a couple weeks was saying, this doesn't make sense. There was no debris. I'm looking at the after reports. There's no explanation for why this would happen unless the U.S. was provoking an attack. It's one of the great achievements of this lone reporter operating in an independent outlet, his own four-page weekly, I.F. Stone's Weekly. It's one of the great achievements. And I would say that today you had the similar, in the modern era, you've had the same thing where and I worked at MSNBC during the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, and I witnessed that they would not allow journalists in mainstream media to question all the lies that were spewing from the Bush administration in advance of the run-up to the invasion of Iraq. Mm-hmm. But if you looked in the progressive blogosphere, you could find people that were exposing the lies that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, or Iraq is somehow, you know, Saddam Hussein, a secular dictator in Iraq, is somehow in league with these religiously inspired terrorists, Al-Qaeda. I mean, it made no sense. But in the mainstream media, it was parroted by 98% of the mainstream media. But if you had access to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!, if you had access to TheNation.com, if you had access to the progressive bloggers, then you understood in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq that it was a crock, that the American public and the world's public was being lied to. And it was because of independent media that we had some of the biggest peace demonstrations in the history of the world. But it wasn't because of the mainstream media. So what we do in this movie, All Governments Lie, is talk about how what Izzy Stone did in the 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. early 70s is what the stars of independent media and what KABU does, what community radio does, what Pacifica Radio does today, what Democracy Now! Does today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think our mainstream media is still at it. You know, right now the big target is Russia.
Yeah,
it's just kind of amazing. And what do you think about the latest thing now? Is this fake? You know, they talk about fake news. There was this sort of fake murder of this reporter, journalist in Kiev, Arkady Babchenko.
Yes,
where he was reportedly assassinated by the Russians in Kiev, and then the media lapped it up right away. It got in all the outlets, and then all of a sudden he turns up alive.
Yeah,
and this supposedly I don't understand. Supposedly this is the Ukrainian way of trapping the would-be killers or whatever. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I just don't know enough. It does seem like they already have a suspect or two in custody,
mm-hmm.
Of people that were plotting, which would be good police work. But yeah, you're right that in the broad sense, the U.S. government and the military-industrial complex always needs a foreign enemy, and the mainstream media will be assured to come along. And while the mainstream media has always been sort of tugged by the nose to ape and echo who the new enemy is, and I mean, to me, the some of the most incredible media bias in the mainstream media is about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is not, has never been the main state sponsor of global terrorism. You hear that all the time. You hear it from, I remember hearing it from the Hillary Clinton side of the Democratic Party. You hear it from the Republicans. You hear it from the Israel right or wrong lobby all the time. Iran is, of course, not the main state sponsor of terrorist groups in the region. The main state sponsor is in the region is the U.S. ally, Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And every expert will tell you that. But there's this, there's power groups in Washington that want to paint a picture of Iran that is not accurate. And they get the mainstream media to go along. And if you want to hear some real experts, you have to read The Intercept or Common Dreams or Truth Out or Truth Dig or listen to KABU and catch Democracy Now! Or Tom Hartman. It's classic today. I mean, you bring up Russia. I watch MSNBC and CNN every night, and I hear all about Russia's assault on the U.S. democracy. One thing you don't hear on those channels is the U.S., the internal enemies who have been waging war on democracy. If Rachel Maddow and MSNBC or Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon on CNN, if they would take just 1 hour out of the 24 hours to do a report on how the Federal Communications Commission and Donald Trump, alongside Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast, are trying to end net neutrality. Just 1 hour, I would have a heart attack. Or the other assaults on U.S. democracy have nothing to do with Russia. Putting the mainstream media in fewer and fewer, bigger and bigger corporate hands. The voter suppression against voters of color and young voters. The corporatization of the Democratic Party. You know, these kinds of issues where the reason U.S. democracy has been declining, and not just since Donald Trump was elected, is because of corporate power over the media, corporate power of the two major parties, corporate efforts to end a free internet and end net neutrality. We don't hear about those issues. All we hear about is Putin, 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 Russia, 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 Mueller, Mueller, Mueller. I've got to tell you that Mueller and Comey, these guys who have led the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I've been a progressive activist my whole life and spied on by various agencies, I don't see Mueller and Comey, who've led the FBI for 17 years, as the heroes of the left. I don't see those two former FBI agents as the heroes of progressives.
Well, I think
they've been spying on for years. They've been spying on groups like Black Lives Matter. They've been spying on groups like Occupy Wall Street. They've been spying, along with Homeland Security, on the water protectors who, you know, the Native American and other activists at Standing Rock. So, I mean, if you watch MSNBC and CNN, the heroes of I guess the progressives are supposed to be all these retired generals, all these former CIA chiefs, all these former FBI chiefs. That's why when I'm looking for progressive heroes, I tune to KBOO, I tune to community radio, I listen to independent, non-corporate media to get the full story.
Well, you know, Sam, I think there's a, you know, I think people are so freaked out by Trump. He's such a... you know,
and they should be.
Well, yes. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, when you have a two-party system, you automatically get into this lesser of evils philosophy. And it's like the evils have gotten worse. And now the boogeyman, Donald Trump, is the worst one yet, you know? I mean, it's...
Look, I'm freaked out by Donald Trump. But what real journalism is what you get from The Intercept or Democracy Now! Day after day. Real journalism looks at the life and death implications of the policies of Donald Trump, the life and death implications of the policies of corporations in the Trump era. That requires journalism. That requires going out and digging up the victims, the immigrants that are victims, the Muslims that are victims, the workers and consumers, the environment. That's not what happens on MSNBC and CNN. That what they are giving us is a televised soap opera. It's where we have the same characters every hour. They claim it's breaking news every hour. It's not, because it's the same story I watched the hour before. You know, they hook you. TV news tries to hook you on a soap opera where you know all the characters. The characters are Mueller, Giuliani, Trump, Putin, Stormy Daniels. I'm sorry, but that's not journalism. If you want to know of the life and death implications of Trump's policies, and there are horrible life and death implications, especially in the environment, especially as it affects immigrants, you are not going to get that from MSNBC. So when I hear people say, oh, you know, we got Fox News on the right wing, but we've got MSNBC that's a balance on the left wing. No, MSNBC is not on the left wing. It's in the corporate center. It's owned by MSNBC. It's why you will not get the full story of the Trump administration, because remember, when Comcast owns MSNBC, they're going to go very, very light on the main issue, the main freedom of the press threat represented by the Trump administration, is his war on net neutrality, his war on the internet. And Comcast, the employer of Lawrence O'Donnell, Chris Matthews, Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, Comcast is in league with the Trump administration. And, you know, here's another thing you hear on MSNBC and CNN week after week. And I wrote a column about this. I encourage people, if they're interested in this deeper critique of the Trump administration. I wrote a column a few weeks ago, Do U.S. Oligarchs Exist? Not in the mainstream media. Because on MSNBC and CNN, you'll always hear this phrase, a Russian oligarch with ties to the Kremlin. But the phrase you won't hear on these channels is a U.S. oligarch with ties to Washington. And one of the leading U.S. oligarchs in our country is a guy named Brian Roberts, who golfs with presidents. He's the CEO of Comcast. He's got one of the biggest lobbying operations in Washington. He's been getting what he wants from Washington since Bill Clinton passed telecommunications deregulation on behalf of big media conglomerates in 1996, all the way to today when Trump's Federal Communications Commission is trying to end net neutrality. And you have these oligarchs in the U.S. There are dozens of them. They're the heads of these companies. But you never hear about U.S. oligarchs on MSNBC. How could that possibly be a left-wing news outlet that doesn't ever tell you about who's really running our country? I'm sorry, but Vladimir Putin is not running our country. A guy who's got far more power over U.S. politics is the owner of Comcast, who employs all these talking heads at MSNBC, and you don't hear about the U.S. oligarchs, whether it's U.S. media conglomerates, pharmaceuticals, healthcare corporations, oil and gas companies. These are the people I hear about when I read The Intercept or when I watch Democracy Now. That's why I encourage people to join me Friday night. I'm sorry,
Sunday night
at First Unitarian Church in Portland.
Well, you know, the Russian oligarchs is way over 100 of them, and they got their money by selling off Russian assets cheap to Western investors under Boris Yeltsin.
A puppet of the United States.
Right. And so some of them, I guess when Putin took over 10 years later on year 2000, he went after some of them. He made a deal with them. He was forced to. This is my understanding that, he couldn't get rid of them, but he made a deal that if they would just pay their taxes to Russia, he would leave them be for a while.
Yeah, well, that's what's fascinating. We hear all the time on in U.S. mainstream media about Russia's intervention in our election and how horrible and cruel and unimaginable it is. Well, you bring up Boris Yeltsin. Boris Yeltsin was this horrific figure, a puppet in Russia, who, as you say, created the Russian oligarchy, hurt seniors and all sorts of citizens in Russia. But he was beloved by U.S. and Western corporate interests. And the U.S. famously intervened in Russian politics to help him get elected. And if you don't, and it wasn't covert.
Oh, no, that's on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah, I'm going to, if people join me at the First Unitarian Church at 6:30 in Portland on Sunday night, I'm going to pass out the cover of Time magazine. And by the way, there were articles at the same period, New York Times, Washington Post, just hailing the fact that the U.S. was intervening in the Russian election to help this guy win. The Time magazine cover was exclusive. Yanks to the rescue. The secret story of how American advisors helped Yeltsin win. And it's a picture of Yeltsin, a cartoon of Yeltsin waving an American flag. So the U.S. has intervened in election after election across the globe, usually installing or helping the anti-Democrats, the authoritarian in the race, the pro-corporate, the candidates who would not help the working class of their countries. And it's a long, sordid history. I know that history because I read The Nation. I know that history because I read The Intercept. I know that history because Democracy Now! Will tell me that history. But if you get all of your news from Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or even the New York Times and the Washington Post, you don't get this history. And it's why I'm such a believer in independent, non-conglomerated news.
Well, this is Press Watch. I'm Per Fogring filling in for Teresa Mitchell, and our guest is Jeff Cohen, who's made a movie about the legendary reporter I.F. Stone. He's also a professor of journalism and a founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. You know, I did a little checking, very cursory checking some time ago about a reporter who's been killed in Russia, and it turns out that most of them were actually killed during the Yeltsin years.
Yeah, well, that's, again, it's... We get such a fractured history. If you get your mainstream, if you get your news from the mainstream media, you will get a fractured, distorted history. You will hear things like that when Yeltsin was a horror, and he was glorified in the U.S. media, mm-hmm. and the U.S. media glorified the fact that the United States government intervened and helped him get elected. That's a good thing when the U.S. does it. It's a bad thing when anyone else does it. I think you get this fractured history of the Middle East, where the evil demons in the Middle East are Iranian. It's not the Israeli oppression of Palestinians going on decade after decade of illegal occupation. It's not Saudi Arabia, this Wahhabist regime. That has helped international terrorists, the kind who just blow up civilians, Christians, Shia, on just almost for the fun of it, for the glory of it, and that's the regime of Saudi Arabia, that's mm-hmm. a U.S. ally. I mean, the world is turned upside down if you get your news from mainstream media.
And don't forget Chop Chop Square in Riyadh, downtown Riyadh. That's where they do their public beheadings.
Yeah. I remember when, you know, they were drumming up anger and hatred in U.S. media against this horrific group, ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
We never got the history of how there was no ISIS until the U.S. invaded Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was no Al-Qaeda until the U.S. occupied, U.S. made war in Afghanistan. I mean, a lot of these terror groups have their origins in U.S. foreign policy. You'll never hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. When we were hearing about the horrific beheadings by ISIS, we weren't told that there were more beheadings happening in the capital city of Saudi Arabia. Why? Because Saudi Arabia is a U.S. ally. So if a country or a force or a movement are enemies of the U.S., you will hear all of the dastardly things they do. But if a movement or an army or a regime are allies of the United States government, then their sins, their atrocities are pushed into the shadows, and that's something that FAIR, a group that I founded, has been exposing now for decades. It's something that Noam Chomsky and Ed Herman have written books mm-hmm. about. By the way, if people, I know in the KBOO listenership, you get the weekly program from FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, that's called Counterspin.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I really encourage people that listen to this show, that if you want to, you know, it's not enough to grumble about how bad the mainstream media are. The important thing is to support independent media and collectively take action against mainstream media. And if you go on the website fair.org and you give them your email address, you'll start getting these alerts where you will see what's biased in the news, what's being censored in the news, what's great in independent media, and you can take action with thousands of other activists if you pay close attention to fair.org.
You know, another bit of forgotten history about Iraq, you know, of course we've been hearing that Saddam Hussein was the latest Hitler and everything. Back in 1959, Iraq was ruled by, their leader was Abdel Karim Qasem, and he's a military guy who helped overthrow the British-imposed king. And some of my Iraqi friends say he was the last honest ruler that Iraq had. And back in 59, he fell out of, the U.S. decided he had to go. And so the CIA hired a young thug named Saddam Hussein, who was only 22 at the time, to assassinate Karim Qasem. And they set him up in an apartment across this avenue from where he worked, and they actually took shots at him, and that particular plot failed, and Saddam Hussein had to escape. He wound up, I think, in the CIA helped get him to Cairo, where he kind of hung out for a few years. And then later on, they did overthrow Qassem, and then Saddam Hussein became the dictator of Iraq, and we helped put him there.
Yeah. If you look at U.S. history, it's why I really cherish Democracy Now, because Democracy Now will give you the U.S. history. Some of the history is very unattractive, especially the history of U.S. foreign policy, and in country after country. The U.S. has intervened in elections to help a military dictatorship take power. Mm-hmm. The U.S. has done that in many countries, Chile in 73-74, Guatemala in 53, Iran.
Honduras just recently. Yeah.
And Honduras under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and mm-hmm. President Barack Obama. So there's this sordid history of U.S. intervention in other countries and in other countries' elections. But U.S. mainstream media is notoriously ahistorical. You know, the U.S. is always the victim. The U.S. is the victim of a Russian plot against our democracy. But what the U.S. is doing overseas is always, if you get your news from U.S. mainstream media, it's always to further democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's to bring about peace and human rights. And it's why I, over the decades, have become such a believer. You've mentioned some of the CIA misdeeds. I mean, Iran had a wonderful progressive leader overthrown by a U.S. Mm-hmm. CIA named Mossadegh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the CIA has played a notorious role in Latin America in overthrowing regimes that were democratic, that were pro-working class, that were trying to help the peasantry. And everyone in Latin America knows this history. We don't know it in our country, and mm-hmm. we're supposed to be the land of, you know, democracy and freedom of press, and we don't know this history. In Latin America, they tell a joke, you know, how come there's not a military coup in the United States? And the punchline, there's no U.S. embassy
right.
there. But when I watch MSNBC and CNN, I see a parade of former CIA chiefs, and they're our heroes now.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the so-called liberal media, because they're questioning Trump, and
mm-hmm.
I saw this this General Clapper,
he
virtually lives on CNN. He's in our movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of these official liars. The movie All Governments Lie is about these official lies that have been told from Lyndon Johnson's era to Donald Trump's era, and of course the independent journalists who exposed the deception. But when I see General Clapper, who's in our movie as a liar, because 5 years ago he went before a Senate committee under oath, and one of your senators here, Senator Wyden, asked him, does the U.S. Intelligence engage in bulk surveillance on millions of Americans? And he lied under oath. He said no. And I see Clapper, I mean, this guy should have been prosecuted for perjury.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But on the other, but what instead, he's regularly on CNN talking about the lack of honesty of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, Trump is a notorious liar, but you bring on General Clapper. I watch mm-hmm. MSNBC, and they keep bringing on, as one of their anti-Trump people, General Barry McCaffrey.
Oh, boy, yes.
Barry McCaffrey is the main military analyst on air for NBC mm-hmm. and MSNBC. He's one of the main individuals who is advocating based on everything he said was false, and he was advocating for the invasion of Iraq week after week back in 2002, 2003. I witnessed that firsthand, and now I see Barry McCaffrey on TV talking about the lack of ethics in the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry. When Chris Hayes is interviewing General Barry McCaffrey on the 15th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, I'm talking about what I witnessed in March of this year with Chris Hayes interviewing General Barry McCaffrey on MSNBC, and Chris Hayes doesn't say at any point in that interview, General McCaffrey, we just have a little bit of time, but I don't want this time to go to this interview to conclude without me asking you, as we mark the 15th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, how did you get things so wrong? do you believe that you owe the American public an apology or at least an explanation about how you got the facts so totally wrong? And obviously, that question doesn't get asked because MSNBC is not a progressive outfit. I wouldn't even argue it's a journalistic outfit. It's more partisan hackery for the Clinton wing of the Democratic Party. Remember, the Clintonites lost an almost unlosable election against a clown in November 2016. And if you read the book Shattered, which is the inside attack, the inside account of the Clinton campaign in 2015, 2016, you'll see that the day after the election, where they lose, the phone calls are made, and they decide, we're blaming it on Comey and Russia, Comey and Russia, Comey and Russia. Well, Comey has now been elevated into a hero, so now it's Russia, Russia, Russia. What you will never get from the Clintonites is, you know, this candidate was flawed. That we ran in an election where there was huge economic anxiety and economic disparity, and we put up a candidate who was presented and who was perceived as the candidate of the status quo, who was perceived as the candidate of corporate America and Wall Street. And you can't win an election when you have a flawed candidate who's, well, you know, they'll never do that self-awareness, that self-analysis. So that's why we get Russia, Russia, Russia. It's a great excuse for the Democratic leadership to not analyze what did they do wrong. And, you know, one of the groups that I have co-founded is the online activism group called RootsAction.org. I co-founded it with Norman Solomon.
Yeah, he was a volunteer at KABU one time.
Oh, yeah. Norman has a great history at Oregon of peace and justice activism and journalism.
And also the Trojan Decommissioning Alliance.
Yes.
That's where that's where I first met Norman.
Yes, he was a great anti-nuclear activist here in Oregon. But Norman and I have founded this national group. We have 1.5 million people on our email list. It's called RootsAction.org. And we were so disgusted that the Democratic Party did not take stock of how did they lose this election? How did they bring about the disaster?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we wrote a report, which we released a year to the day after the Trump victory. So in November of 2017, we put out Democratic Autopsy. And if anyone wants to read what the Democratic Party did wrong, what they need to change in order to win in the future, it's called, you can find the website democraticautopsy.org. And we talked about how you need to have in a society that's got such economic anxiety, you have to put forward an agenda of progressive populism, or you will not get a hearing, and a phony populist like Trump or someone even slicker than Trump will come along and pretend to be an advocate for distressed people.
Hey, I got another interesting bit of history that it's worth digging out. You know, when the Shah was overthrown and the mullahs came into power, and the hostages were, you know, the American embassy hostages were taken, and the hostage takers, these so-called students, you know, who took over the embassy, I guess they went through all of the, you know, all the documents and papers they could find. And some of those, I believe, were published by a reporter named William Worthy, who wrote for the Baltimore Sun. And I wonder whatever happened to, you know, you never hear much about that. There must have been all kinds of little secrets were uncovered.
Yeah, I feel that if your listeners are tuned in to independent media, and they would be if they're listening to KABU, they will get all this history. I mean, I feel like Democracy Now, every day, besides telling me what's gone wrong in the world and what activists are fighting to try to make things better, I'm getting a lot of history. I'm getting a lot of history about U.S. war crimes. I'm getting a lot of history about the U.S. Manipulations in countries to make sure progressive leadership doesn't come to power in developing countries. You get a lot of history. You don't get a lot of that in the mainstream media, which is ahistorical. Mm-hmm. Has to be. Because if your ideology at the New York Times and the Washington Post is that the U.S., well, whatever might have happened in the past, the U.S. is foreign policy is geared toward democracy and human rights and peace, and trying to bring about peace in the Middle East, and trying to bring about peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. If you've got mm-hmm. this ideology, which is almost fact-averse, you know, this mm-hmm. ideology irrespective of what the facts are on the ground, then you don't want to talk about U.S. history, because it might inform us that maybe U.S. foreign policy isn't geared toward democracy, human rights, and peace and reconciliation. Maybe U.S. foreign policy is geared toward corporate profits overseas and spreading U.S. power overseas. I think I would have a heart attack if CNN or MSNBC, instead of going 24/7 with Mueller, 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 Russia, 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 if they did even like 1 hour on how corporate interests play such a big role in U.S. foreign policy, I think I'd have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a heart attack. You know, people are getting killed today in Honduras, mm-hmm. Indigenous activists, environmental activists. They have a horrendous regime in Honduras. But in 2009, they had a progressive president.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you brought this up, because that's not ancient history. This is the Obama administration with Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State. They had a military coup against a progressive president who'd been elected. And all over the hemisphere, including Canada, every country immediately denounced the coup. There was one country that did not denounce the coup, and this was the United States of America under the Obama administration. And the United States position is, oh, we're trying to sort out the facts. Well, mm-hmm. we know from WikiLeaks mm-hmm. that the U.S. Embassy had immediately sent cables and memos to the State Department in Washington, headed by Hillary Clinton, saying this is a case closed. This is an unconstitutional military coup. Now, the reason that the Obama administration couldn't call it a coup is they wanted to continue to give aid. And if you declare that a unconstitutional coup has taken power in Honduras in 2009, then the U.S. Money flow stops to that country. That regime would not have survived. The democratic president would have been restored to power, the democratically elected president. And this is not ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear on MSNBC and CNN, the two allegedly liberal cable news channels as opposite right-wing Fox News, if I could hear any of this